The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Andy O'Donoghue is here for Tech Tuesday. Andy, you and I are amongst those who have received the EU Digital COVID certificate today. You received yours via email. I got mine in the post. But tell us about how you actually are going to use it to scan it, to use it as a digital piece of equipment.
Yeah, so what I've done, Matt, is like you, I've printed mine and folded it. And I noticed it came with instructions for folding, which is very useful. But what I also did was I used a little app on my phone to convert it into a digital version of the pass. The reason I did that is now I can drop it into my wallet, my digital wallet, on my Android phone and also on my iPhone. So I've converted it for both. And it's very easy. I used a little app called Pass to You. And there's all sorts of little templates there. But what it allows you to do is take the QR code and name the fields. So say, OK, I want my name and my date of birth, because I think they're going to be the important fields when you're using this. But it's now in my wallet, which means that I don't have to fumble for paper. And when I'm going through an airport or trying to get into a restaurant over the next month or so, that it will be there and verifiable when somebody scans it.
Listener says, I got my digital cert in email today. I was horrified to discover that it's a simple PDF document and not even secured from editing. Would it have been too much to ask that the documents were write protected? Anyone with any semblance of IT knowledge can open and edit this in seconds. Surely there was a more secure and reliable way to issue these.
Well, I don't, I wouldn't be concerned about that. It's a PDF file, and when it's scanned, I think at the core of this, if you notice on the digital passport, the paper version, it has unique certificate number. And that's the important thing that's related to this document. So if somebody takes yours, yes, they can pretend they're yours unless they authenticate themselves in some other way. But by editing it, it serves no useful purpose whatsoever. So that passport relates to your vaccination record.
OK, and it's interesting as well. You were pointing out to me that if you want to go to a restaurant, though, having the queue or having the vaccine passport in itself may not be enough. You think you're going to need another form of identification to be able to verify to the restaurant or pub that you are the person it says on the vaccination card.
I mentioned this earlier on today on Twitter, Matt, and I'm hoping that we might get clarification maybe from Fáilte Ireland or from the Restaurants Association, because I think that you will absolutely need some form of government-issued ID, and that could be public service card, driving license, or a passport. But if you bring your vaccination certificate to a restaurant and it's scanned, all that that authenticates is that it's a valid certificate. It doesn't validate that it's Matt Cooper. So you will have to have a driving license or a PSC card to show your name and your date of birth. And that's the information that will have to match what's on the passport. I see no other way around this.
Because the EU digital passports are, it can't be scanned by the restaurants or by the publicans. They don't actually, not going to have scanning machines to scan the QR code, are they?
Well, we don't know. Guidance is coming in the next couple of days. And so we will find out a little bit more about it. However, I think that they will, that's how this will pan out. Because if we look at Holland, who have advanced very quickly on this, where their app is called Corona Check. And they issue an iOS and Android app, and you store it in digital format, and the locations where you try to enter, they scan it. But they ask, exactly as I've suggested, they ask for a second form of identification or a government-issued ID.
At the moment, you mentioned the app to do this. What is the app to create your digital passport on your phone?
There's lots of them. So you just use a wallet app. I use Pass to You, the letter 2, the number 2 and the letter U. Pass to You is the one I use.
Okay. And some people are saying about wallets and stuff. But wallets are on your phone. That's what a lot of people use for their plane tickets,
exactly,
and stuff at the moment. Anonymous says, I haven't got mine via email yet. Can you ask if this is anything to worry about? My understanding is it's going to take days for this to come as well. The other thing is, I did try and take a photograph today of the QR code for setting it up on my phone. It said the QR information not active, but I presume that's because the pass doesn't become active until the 19th of July.
Presumably so, and I presume they will become active on that date. But if you do only get it in the post, and I tried this earlier, you can take a photo of it, use the little crop tool in your camera, and then use that to load it into your wallet. And that also works perfectly well.
Okay. All right, let's move on to the other issue we had decided to talk about, battery life, because this is still a major issue, isn't it, for many people, with particularly with mobile phones, that they are concerned that despite all of the advances in technology and software, the one thing that they don't get proper is battery life. How do you check your phone's battery health?
Oh, and Matt, this is a great question and a great subject, because people are tortured by, you know, not having a very old phone and they start to lose battery life. There are a couple of great ones, by the way, I should say. So if you own an Apple iPhone 12 Pro Max, best iPhone for battery life, but that's a big, expensive phone, as is, you know, the Samsung Galaxy S21, the new one, the Ultra, that I remember testing. Also really good.
The most expensive new ones. But how long does that battery life remain sufficiently strong for people? Because the older your phone gets, suddenly you find that the battery needs maybe to be charged 2-3 times a day.
There is a statistic that they tell us that 500 charge cycles, so that would be about a year and a half. After a year and a half of charging and you go through those 500 charge cycles, you should have about 80% of your battery left. And for me, that's been the case. Now, I think what people have discovered is over the last 12 months, during lockdown, we used our phones a lot more. People were using Bluetooth headphones all the time, which they mightn't do at work, you know, so we're chewing into our battery life. So there, you can check this. For instance, on iOS, you go into settings and then into battery and then battery health. And if you do find yourself starting to run out, companies, most of the...
So what the number should you have then? I did this today knowing we'd be doing this and I found I've 95% battery health. Is that good?
That's really good.
Okay.
Yeah, really good. How old is your phone?
About a year old.
Okay. So I would say you're ahead, because, you know, if we're sticking to that 80% health after 500 cycles, you're ahead, which is pretty good and not, you know, not a bad position to be in. Now, the one thing that I do notice, when batteries start to go, they go. So when you go down below that 70 or 80%, the battery life does start to deteriorate.
And what drains the battery? Is it having... One thing I didn't notice recently was taking apps off actually did help.
Well, when you're taking apps off, when you start to take apps off, what you're doing probably is disabling services that have been running. There's lots of services running on your phone that you don't really know about and you don't really need. So keeping your phone, you know, it's called hygiene essentially, but if you keep your phone clear of apps that can chew up memory on you, that's using power, it's using processing power, and that then starts to erode your battery life and performance of the phone as well.
Okay. Is it possible to have a battery replaced? And if so, how much does it cost?
It is possible. Most of the companies, Apple, will do theirs direct. And
do they make it so prohibitively expensive you'll go and buy another phone instead?
No, they don't. And they got criticism about that in the past, but they've stopped doing that and they've stopped sort of making it, well, difficult. It's not that expensive. Most prices to replace, to do the iPhone or the Samsungs, about 55 to 75 euros are the sort of pricing that I've seen. If you go to one of the shops, and, you know, if your phone is, you know, if it's a couple of years old and it's a perfectly good phone, I would say do replace the battery. Absolutely. I'm not in favor of, you know, replacing your smartphone every year. You don't need to do that. It's not good. And also, batteries are, it's a funny technology, because there's a lot of dirt and ecological impact of replacing batteries. You know, these rare earth metals that go into them are difficult to mine.
So when you bring it back, do they actually recharge the battery in some way rather than replacing the battery?
No, they don't. They do replace the battery. They do replace the battery. And then, you know, you're gonna get another couple of years out of your phone. Getting 4 or 5 years out of a smartphone with a replacement, really, then your phone turns into much better value. So it's worthwhile doing.
Why is it so rare to find a phone with a removable battery?
Oh, do you remember 5 years ago, we could all pop a battery in, but
yes,
for exactly this reason, that, you know, you're going to pay maybe 100 euros, you know, to get one
it
of the big batteries.
Captive. It's a big thing with Apple, isn't it, that you can't, it's such a sealed unit with their iPhones that you can't replace anything unless they do it for you.
And their entire ecosystem, you know, they want to keep you in there. There are companies, though, who specialise in this. And they focus on building what they call these modular style phones that allow you to replace things very easily. Worthwhile doing.
Okay, listener says, my son is 13 and changes his phone batteries himself. There could be a business there for him doing it for other people. We got to leave it there. Andy O'Donoghue, thank you for joining us for Tech Tuesday.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today.